chapter 3. And I need to say something, make a disclosure. It's always easier to preach this stuff than it is to live it. Years and years ago, when I was pastoring in South Georgia, I was preaching a revival over in Dublin, Georgia. And one night I was preaching on the home. And I said something like, guys, you ought to open the car door for your wife. And there was an old man sitting in the audience next to probably a lady who was his daughter. And he said out loud, I bet he don't either. Well, I did that night. So what I'm going to be sharing with you today is, number one, from the Scripture. Number two, from things that I've learned, a lot of it from my own failure, and a lot of it I'm still learning. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. In verses 1 through 7, in verses 1 through 6, he speaks to the wives. There are two things the Scripture tells us to study. Number one is the Scripture itself. And number two are our wives, because both of them are hard to understand and very difficult to interpret. And so he gives us a word. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And your wives are thinking, don't even think about it, guys. And you have become her heir, her children, if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Now he speaks to the husbands. He gives 6 verses to the ladies and 1 verse to the wife. I'll leave that up for you to interpret. You husbands likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Would you pray with me? God, bless the preaching today of the Word. Give us a word from the Word. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Let me give some foundation for you and set up this text. Peter has been talking about excellence in the Christian life, because excelling as a believer is what gives Christians a right to be heard in our culture. And so he has mentioned 3 places where we're to excel. He's mentioned the government, the workplace, and marriage. We're to be model citizens. We're to follow our government. We're to be workers who give excellence and employers who give excellence. And we are to excel as husbands and wives. Now, verse 7 is totally contrary to our culture. It is exactly the opposite of what we think and what we're told. So I want to say 2 things today and build the message around those 2 things. Peter says to the men, we are to be gentle with our wives, and we are to be graceful with our wives. We are to be gentle and we are to be graceful. Now, look at that verse again with me, verse 7. You husbands, likewise. Let's deal with this. Live with your wives in an understanding way. What does that mean? Well, guys, look right here. It means you're smart enough to know that this is not just another human. She's not like man. You can't treat her like another man. She is altogether different, an altogether different human. The Bible says in Genesis, male and female created he them. Equal? Absolutely. Inferior? No way. Equal, but different. Now he says, as unto the weaker vessel. How would you like to be up here today in front of all these women and explain that, Lucy? The weaker vessel, not inferior. The man is not superior to the wife. The wife is not superior to the husband. Not inferior. What does he mean when he says weaker vessel? How many of you in your house have Tupperware? We have Tupperware in our house since 1952. You can't wear it out. How many of you also in that same house have some place where you keep your fine china or your porcelain or your crystal? So when he says here, the weaker vessel, he does not mean weaker like Tupperware is weaker or insubordinate. He means she is precious. She is like fine china. As a matter of fact, when you first met her, you said, boy, she's fine. She's just like china. She's just like crystal. She's just like porcelain. Meaning that verse, handle with care. The weaker part there has to do with her physically, certainly not spiritually, or mentally, but in usually weaker physically. Let me make an observation, see if this is not true. Women will come to counseling easier than men. Agree? Women will share their pain easier than men. Women will share their life story easier than men. There is a difference between men and women. Let me illustrate that to you by a man's retreat and a woman's retreat. Here's the ladies' retreat. A greeter meets you at the door. Your name tag is decorated. Women sit at tables with place settings. The program begins and the lights dim. You're welcome. And a skit follows with profound meaning. Music begins. Hands are raised in worship. A testimony ends with a complete emotional breakdown, followed by weeping. The teacher hands outliner done in beautiful graphic designs. The message concludes with 5 minutes of introspection. Sniffles and tears follow. Group prayers dismiss with visits to a table of vegetables and various dips. It is well done. Here is a men's retreat. A man meets you at the door and says, are you lost? Insults immediately begin. Your name tag is a stick-on marked with a felt pen. Chairs are aligned like you're in prison. The skit is funny, but unrepeatable. The song leader says, y'all want to sing? And he is glared down in silence. After the teaching, you're dismissed to refreshments of Chips Ahoy and bean dip. Not well done. Why? Because men and women are different. And there's a difference emotionally and physically. Now listen to me, guys. Come right here for a moment. It is a sad thing that some do not understand the difference with their wife. And in the name of strength or masculinity, do not see her as different, but as a nuisance. What was it about Jesus? There was something about Jesus that was abnormal to his day. One of the reasons that he was treated by women like he was, because he was so different. They were the first at the cross and the first at the tomb. They wept. They poured perfume on his feet. They seem to understand things about him that men did not understand. And you'll find often in the New Testament where the disciples or men were rebuking women for coming to Jesus. Why is it that women had this relationship with Jesus? Because they found in him their Prince Charming. When do men come to faith? usually after a long bout of brokenness and being beaten down, when do women come to faith? Normally, as the Spirit of God begins to communicate to their heart their need of Christ, they melt and they come. We are different. Now let me spend a few moments trying to give you an interpretation of what it means to live according to knowledge. What is a woman looking for, and what does that scripture mean, and how does it relate to a man living with knowledge to his wife? Well, write these words down. Men, write these words down. Women, write these words down for them. The first word is the word tenderness. Tenderness. If you have a burn or a cut on some part of your body, you don't treat that place like the rest of your body. You approach it in a different way. You are mindful of it. It is more sensitive. When you come into the reference of your wife, your talk is different. Your touch is different. Your tone is different. Hey, guys, when I'm out playing golf with some of my buddies, I talk to them differently than the way I talk to my wife, because if I didn't, I wouldn't have my wife. You don't talk to your wife like you talk to your buds on a hunting party. Or when you're out fishing, you don't do that kind of stuff. You talk to her like she's a complete different human being. How'd you like to be born in this culture, a woman, under the law of Darwin, the law of the jungle, to be smaller, to be treated so much differently? Well, the Bible concept of that is totally different. You treat your wife with tenderness. Now, write this little phrase down. Secondly, she is to be listened to. Nothing says, I love you, like a man listening to his wife. And the highest disrespect we pay to our wives is to not listen to them. You are declaring their heart is not worth hearing, not their voice, but their heart. And what she's saying is, give me worth. Give me value. Stop and listen. That's difficult for a man to listen to his wife. We speak different languages. Women speak womanese. It's like going to a foreign country, and every time you get in that foreign country, they change the language. That's how your wife is. You never know when you approach her what you're going to get. Is it going to be Broomhilda, or is it going to be the princess? And so you have to learn to listen. Have you ever noticed how men want to automatically give an answer to a problem that she's not described yet? She needs about 2 hours to describe this problem. And in 5 minutes, you've already told her the solution. She doesn't want you to tell her the solution. She wants you to listen to her heart. She wants you to value her. The other night, I had a meeting with three women concerning baby dedication. Three women. Three females. Three humans who were not men. And I'm sitting there, and before I arrived, this is the truth. Sometimes I lie, I'm telling you the truth right now. Before I arrived, I already had the answer. But I knew better. I was studying for this message. And so I'm thinking, 2 hours for Carol, 2 hours for Melinda, 2 hours for Cheryl. We'll be here until the sun comes up. 5 minutes into it, I'm going like this. Oh, dear God, save me from this moment. Let me listen with all my heart to everything they're going to say. I'm not going to agree with it. God, I already know the answer, but let me listen. 10 minutes into it, I blew it. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. The only problem with that is I've got to go home with one of them to listen to me. To listen to me. We want to explain the problem away. She's not really worried about the problem. I want you not to fix the problem. I want you to listen to me. She already knows how she's going to fix it. She just needs 2 hours to explain it. And 5 minutes into it, you can't say, all right, that's enough. Let's fix it. Listen to what the Bible says. He that gives an answer before he hears it is folly and shame. You know what that means? That means if you're talking to a guy who's not listening to you, you don't think, boy, this guy is so important, he can't listen to me. He's so smart, he can't. You know what you think? What a rude, crude dude that guy is. I don't want to ever talk to him again. So you treat her with tenderness. You listen to her. Number three, affection. Not infection, affection. What does that mean? Write this in the margin of your Bible or your notes. Non-sexual touching. You say, This is spring training. The Braves are down in Disney World, getting ready for the season to open in April. For 14 straight years, they have won the Eastern Division. Do you think that just happened because, okay, it's baseball season, let's show up? You know better than that. You know that Schuerholz has been working all year round, that Bobby Cox has been working all year round. You know that some of the baby Braves have been playing baseball in different parts of the world where it's warm. And they've been playing ball all year. They don't just show up on April the 1st and say, okay, baseball season starts. Some of you are wondering why it is your wife doesn't show up when you need her. May I tell you? Because you don't understand the behind-the-scene needs of a woman. Your wife likes to hold hands and you don't. How do I know that? Because I are a man. And man is a hunter. And once man has bagged his prey, he's done. Why should I hold her hand anymore? But women want you to hold their hands. After 35 years of marriage, I have no problem holding my wife's hand most of the time. Affection wants you to coddle with her. How many of you know that women are huggers? They hug one another. They hug people they don't know. They hug trees and dogs and come here, let me just hug you. Men don't want to be hugged. But she needs the coddling, the touching, just the touch of the shoulder. Affection. Write down this word. Security. The biggest word in the vocabulary of a man for his wife needs to be security. What does man need? Respect. What does the wife need? Security. Three ways we show our wives security. Number one is by provision. As a man, you work. You provide the food. The Bible says, not pursuing vain things. What does that mean? It means that she wants a guy who's not always looking for a get-rich-quick scheme. And those are everywhere. Everybody's got a pyramid system where you can get rich. Everybody can tell you how to buy books. If you want to know how to win $10 million from publisher's house, buy $10 million worth of books and you can win that $10 million. I know we're going to win it. What she wants is to know that you are stable and secure in your position. Another word is the word protection. If they bomb us on 9/11, we men go to war. If the Titanic goes down, we stay on. And we let the women and the children get off first. We're going to protect them. Why do you think it is she's constantly holding on to you? She wants your protection. Another word is the word permanency. To think that you're going to leave is an abomination to a woman. And to think that you would flirt in her presence or out of her presence. You know what's wrong with flirting, men? And it goes on in your office building all the time. And it goes on in traffic all the time. And it goes on in your neighborhood all the time. You know what's wrong with you flirting with another woman? Here's what your wife reads. You are disclosing your heart to somebody else besides her. Your heart belongs to Jesus and to your wife. And if you flirt, if you walk around with your heart exposed all the time, talking to other women, telling them your problems, letting them know things that your wife doesn't even know, you are wrecking and ruining her. And all of God's women said, the reason they're grabbing a hold of you is because they're saying, you ain't going nowhere, buddy. You ain't going nowhere. As a matter of fact, if you try to go anywhere, I'm going to take this gun and kill you. God bless you. See you later. Let me give you another word. Write down the word development. Development. She should never wonder, what could I have been if I'd never met him? Remember Glenn Campbell's song, "These Are the Dreams of the Everyday Housewife Who Gave Up the Good Life for Me." Jesus is our groom as the body of Christ. And He is constantly developing us. He saves us. He satisfies us. He sustains us. He does is in the work of sanctifying us. And He never stops. He never gives up on you. From the time you're saved to the time you're delivered in glory, from the salvation to the consummation, Jesus is always developing you. I hear guys say things like this, and it makes me angry. "Well, my wife is just not spiritual." Hey, dude, look into the mirror. You know who's not spiritual? It's not her, it's you. Because you are the sanctifier through the Word of God of your wife. I need an amen right there. Let me give you another word. Write down the word time. T-I-M-E. Listen to this little statement. You do as a discipline what you did as a technique to get married. All right, here we go. How many of you can remember your courting days? Back, you know, horse and buggy days. You remember that? Courting days. Back then, you were like, "Hey, baby, how are you? How are things going tonight? I hope everything is well with you. I'm going to take you out tonight and I'm going to impress you with my knowledge of fine eating and dining. We're going to McDonald's tonight and we're going to wear those chicken legs out. I'm telling you, we're going to have a time." When you were courting, you were a dude. Now you're just kind of a dud. Cheryl and I started many years ago. Even before we went through the empty nest syndrome, and we've been there a long time, we started dating. Most every Friday night, we would date. And we would usually go to dinner and a movie. I love movies. And so at that time, it was not really a kosher thing for Baptists to go to movies. And people would say, "Well, preacher, what did you go see?" And I'd say, "Well, the Ten Commandments, of course. What else am I going to say?" Charlton Heston thinks he's Moses. He's crazy. He's a nut. And we would go, but the movie was not the big thing with me. The big thing with me was that I got to sit there with my bride. And we drank a large Diet Coke and eat a large Diet Popcorn. And I'm thinking, what is better than this? To be able to sit here with a woman I love, the wife of my youth, and suck this butter off my fingers and hers every once in a while. Somebody help me preach. And then to communicate afterward and have dialogue afterwards, courting. But I remember so many years just being a stupid husband. "All right, where you want to go tonight?" "I don't care where you want to go. I don't care where you want to go." "Well, let's go over to Mom and Em's. Let's just sit on the front porch and drink some sweet tea over there at Mom and Em's." And by the time you get to wherever you're going, you're already so mad you can't see straight. Hey, guys, here's a neat concept. Have a plan. We're going out, and here's where we're going. She wants time with you. Some of you are saying, "But Pastor, we're struggling financially." Hey, guys, it doesn't have to be big stuff. It can be little stuff. It can be creative stuff. You come up with it. You design it. Money is not the issue, and it never is. It's your creativity and your planning. When you give your wife time, you are saying, "I love you, and I give my heart to you." Heard about one man who was having a difficult time financially. And he said to his wife, "You didn't marry me for this. And if you need to leave, I'll understand." She replied, "If I'd married you for money, I could have done better." I married you for you. Time. And then write down this word, talk. T-A-L-K. I, outside of the pulpit, don't have to talk. I don't have to communicate. I don't have to. If Scott Prell and I were driving from here to New York City, and we didn't say but five words, you know what? I wouldn't think Scott was mad at me. And I'd be glad he didn't say anything to me, to be frank with you. But if my wife and I are driving from here to New York City, and 5 minutes of silence goes by, I'm in trouble. "Why are you mad at me? Why are you not talking to me? You talk to everybody else. You talk to Marshall. You talk to Jack. Baby, I'm just thinking. Well, what are you thinking about? I'm thinking how I'm going to answer this question. And I can wonder, guys, I'm not telling you, I know as a child I had ADD, but we didn't know anything to do with it then. And I can just wonder, and I can just start singing. And, you know, I can be off of my own little world. But my wife says, talk to me right now. I was out the other night, and we were having dinner, and there's this young couple. Daddies, listen to me. Don't let your daughter date a thug. If a guy comes to the house and his britches are down below his hiney, and he's got all this stuff going on him, you say, excuse me, sir, you have got the wrong house, because ain't no way my daughter's leaving this house with you. And she's out with this thug. This pretty little girl's out with this thug, and he's just sitting there, you know, like, I'm bad. Get some of this. I'm bad. I'm the baddest dude in here. Don't talk to me. And he's just sitting there. She's beautiful, and he's just sitting there. And when his food comes, he's like an animal. He attacks it. And I wanted to go over in the name of Jesus and lay hands on him right around his throat and say, listen here, thug, talk to this girl or take her back to safety. Talk. And if you have to force yourself to talk, if you're like me and have to force yourself to talk, just do it. Let me give you another word. Help. H-E-L-P. How many of you remember Dr. Laura? I don't know if she still comes on the radio or not. Dr. Laura said this. The sound of my husband vacuuming is foreplay. So guys, I've got one word for you. Crank her up today. We used to call women who didn't work housewives, and they said, don't call me that. I'm not married in my house. And so now we call them stay-at-home moms or something else. Don't do this, guys, because guys have a tendency to do this. We have a tendency to say, hey, I'm bringing home the money. You take care of the kids. You take care of the house. I'm bringing home the money. Now, what you're saying may be right. You are bringing home the money. But here's what she hears. You can be replaced. You're a maid. You take care of the house. You nanny the babies. You raise them. And I'll bring home the money. And she is destroyed in her heart. Her value. Her worth. Who she is depleted. And there are things that you can do to help. Doesn't have to be big things, but there are things you can do. Let me give you another word. The word romance. The word romance. Heartfelt stuff. I love you. Remembering special days for no reason whatsoever. Listen to this. If you remember her birthday, she thinks you're efficient. But if you just do something for no particular reason, she thinks you're wonderful and creative and spontaneous. Now, how many of you guys know, look right here at me, how many of you guys know if we are anything, it ain't spontaneous? We do not have spontaneous moments when it comes to our wife. Romance. Let me give you another word. The word leadership. Leadership. This is especially true for women who are believers. She cannot feel that her native spiritual abilities are being expended by someone who's going nowhere. She can't follow a parked car. And ladies, listen to me. I'll speak to this next week. Let me speak to it here. Listen to me. If your husband refuses to lead, you don't lead. Because even if he does not take the responsibility, he's still responsible. If he refuses the responsibility, he's still responsible. You let him lead. You say, well, Pastor, if I don't lead, it won't get done. Then let it not get done. Force him into a place of leadership. If there's anything today that the church lacks, it's male, strong leadership. those who will not simply lead in class or lead in a program, but those who will lead their families. My primary responsibility is not to pastor this church, but it is to lead my wife. See, I don't have to pastor this church. God will have somebody else here. But I have to be the husband of Cheryl Baldwin. I have to be the father of Scott. I have to be the grandfather of Hunter. I have to do those things. And that means that I am to lead. How many of you watched Dancing with the Stars? Now, don't lie. Go ahead and admit it. Ray Quinn, raise your hand. You know you did. Remember Kenny Mayne? Kenny was the worst possible dancer. He was number one to go from the show because he was just horrible. I don't know how Jerry Rice made it to number two. I thought Stacy should have won that thing for sure. Never mind. A woman trying to follow a man is like dancing with a bad dancer if he doesn't know where he's going. Do you have a plan for your family? You know where the next 5 years your family's going to be financially? What you've got planned for them spiritually? Could you write down a plan, guys? And say, these things, here's my priority, Christ, and here's what comes after Christ. Your priority is Jesus first, and then your family, not your church. And so God says, be gentle. Very quickly, let me share the second thing. Be graceful. Now look with me at the second part of this verse. He says, since she is a woman, and watch this, let's just follow these. There are two more lines. Let's follow those. And grant her, underline this, honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Grant her honor. Equal worth is a biblical concept. Equal recipients of the grace of God. In the image of God created them, male and female, but He created them with equality. Different roles, different functions, absolutely. But equality. The impact of this verse is frightening outside of the culture of Christians. For example, in Brazil, a man can still kill his wife if he perceives that she's unfaithful. In Roman days, you rejoiced if you had a boy. But if you had a girl, you could expose her. You could sell her as a slave or as a prostitute, and it was considered good business. Not until too long ago in India, if a man died, they burned his body, and it was considered appropriate for a woman to throw her body on the fire to commit suicide. Equal worth is a biblical concept. So he says she's a fellow heir of the grace of God. Look at that next verse. So that your prayers may not be hindered. You probably already know this, but if you don't have it written down, write this down. The word hindered there means chopped off. Chopped off. And God says, if I can't trust you in the home, how am I going to trust you with anything else spiritual? Before my mom came to live with us, I went by her home one day. It had been a week or so that I'd been by. I talked with her on the phone daily, but my son at that time lived with her. And I walked into that house, and folks, it was the most awful stench you can imagine. A cat had crawled up under her house and died. It stank to the high heavens. I looked over at her and I said, Mama, what is that smell? You know what she said? What smell? I said, what smell? I know you can't hear, but is your nose broke too? And she said, you know, I did smell something a couple of days ago, but I don't even smell it now. She'd been living in the same environment for so long, she'd gotten used to the smell. Ladies, don't listen. Gentlemen, sometimes we're the last to know. We got a stanky situation. And if things are not right, it begins here with God and comes to here in your home. Look right at me and we'll close. How many of you men have a relationship with Christ? By faith, you have put your trust in Him. Can I see your hand? Thanks. Put them down. If you haven't, listen to me, husband. If you haven't, start there today. Start there today with a realization that you're undone without Christ. Your sin has separated you from God. And you cannot be the husband and father God's called you to be apart from Jesus Christ. You just can't do it. You can be a good man, respectful, honorable, all of that. But you can't be all that God's called you to be apart from a relationship with Him. And so I'm going to invite you in a moment to come to faith. And then I wonder how many men, and I'll do this again. I did it in the first service. I know that this was designed by a woman because I can't understand it. How many of you men will say, you know what, Pastor? I'm like you. I haven't arrived. But I want God to do a work in my life and a work in my family. And I'll come and stand or kneel or sit at the altar and say, God, make me the husband that God wants me to be. So I'm going to ask that you stand with me, everyone. And guys, I want to come right here and say, God, use me. Reveal to me my sin, where I've sinned against my wife, by probably not doing some of the very things I just mentioned to you. Those 10 things. Believe me, on a scale of 1 to 10, I got a long way to go. So, fellas, how many of you will just join me and say, God, we'll be the men you've called us to be? Come right now. Take just a moment. I'm going to pray in a moment. Just take just a moment. Our wives don't want us to be perfect, guys. Just perfectible. She doesn't want another husband. She wants you to be that husband. Father, as guys are still coming, but just take this moment to confess to you, we can't do this without you. It's too hard. It's impossible. We can't fill those roles without you and our relationship with you. So for that one who may not have that yet, may this be the day of his salvation. And for the guys like myself who are learning, still in the learning curve, still in the process, don't let us just admit it and stop there. God, we do that too much. We confess, oh, we're not right. But we don't go to the next step of making it right. And so from this day forward, by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the life of Christ in us, we will fulfill these roles. And if not fulfill them, we will make an attempt. We won't be perfect, but we'll be perfectible. We'll be willing to listen, willing to help, get help from other guys who've been there. But today we put ourselves on the line for our wives, the wife you've given us, to love her like Jesus loved the church. We know that love looks like a cross. So we embrace you. Love them through us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Remain standing, guys. You can go back or you can stay. If you're here today and don't know Christ, if you're looking for a church home, you've had believers' baptism like you were shown earlier today, you believe this is where God wants you, we invite you to come. We had several come on the first service. We invite you to come and be a part of this wonderful body of believers who are struggling but moving toward God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Steve, lead us in a verse.
Give us clean.